The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side. Hey, we're a day late. Sorry about that. I tiptoe into the store nice and easy. Rough 24 hours, you know, being a store owner is not easy. Sometimes it can get real tough, but we made the best of it, and I had a really good time doing this show. John did too. Everything happens for a reason, and this one, I think we had a lot of fun with this one, so let's get into the store, and we get over the rough stuff quick, and then we just get right back to our old selves, and it's a good time. So let's just get into the store. Hello? Is it safe for me to come in now?
Yeah. You're not UPS, are you?
Nope. I wasn't even thinking of wearing brown today.
What can brown do for you? Well, not a whole hell of a lot, apparently.
So yeah, I'm a little bit inconvenienced too. This is my second flight in 2 days, so that wasn't fun.
I know,
so,
I'm sorry you had to come back and, you know.
Yeah, and it's like, I appreciate you not swinging at me yesterday. You were fit to be tied.
Was not a good day.
No.
Yesterday.
It wasn't a good day for anybody, and as you and I discussed, like, it looks like everybody was delayed in one way or another. Yeah. All stores were delayed. But why don't you fill the listeners in, because everybody knows there was a screw-up.
I was going to say, I wasn't going to go that deep, because I don't know if I can keep it too PG-rated.
Well, I've got Sounders.
In a nutshell, I ended up, you know, I waited till almost 11 p.m. at my store last night, almost 4 hours after closing, because UPS kept insisting that my package was still out for delivery, and that if I wanted to make sure that I got it, I needed to wait for somebody to show up. And as it got increasingly later and later, and I was increasingly more confident that it was not going to show up, despite them continuing to tell me that it would, I finally got a supervisor on the phone at about 10:30 last night, after I had asked two previous times to speak with a supervisor and was basically denied that option. I said, they tried to call the dispatch office where I'm serviced out of, and it was closed. So obviously there was no truck still on the on the road since the dispatch was closed. So again, long story short, you know, I argued with them to find out how I could get my package today without having to go through the same thing again all day today. And I was left with the option to go pick it up this morning at the hub, which I did grudgingly, and got my books and had them all on the shelf about an hour after I opened. So all was well, but it was not a good evening. I was not fit to record or be around until I had a couple of glasses of vodka, and then I was calm and went to sleep.
Oh, nice. Yeah, so let me get this straight. So UPS, the delivery organization, didn't actually deliver your packages?
Did not deliver.
Nope.
You know, basically 2 days. You know, this was due Tuesday.
Right.
It was already late Tuesday. And then, you know, again, by 7 p.m. Wednesday, when I was getting ready to close and it still hadn't shown up, even though I had seen two UPS trucks go in front of my store during the day, which that's not unusual. Like, there's lots of days where multiple UPS trucks will show up
right
at the shopping center. So I didn't really – I wasn't too concerned that my package didn't come off of either one of those two trucks. But it still makes me wonder that, you know, it might have been in the back of one of those trucks and didn't get dropped off. So who knows? Like I said, it was – they're just so unhelpful. Anybody that's had to call them and deal with them, because all you get is out for delivery, and they have you know, no status updates throughout the day. If you call them, they tell you as soon as you call them, the recorded message comes on and says, our drivers don't have any more information than the website has. Like, they're telling you right away, don't bother calling us because we're not going to help you. But, you know, I went and called anyways, and that was the other thing, too. The later I called them, the longer I had to wait on hold. Like, at 9:30 at night, I waited for 40 minutes on hold for somebody to pick up. After waiting 30 minutes the time before, and I told the guy, hey, my phone's beeping, and it's about to die, so here's my cell phone number. Will you call me back? Yes, I will call you back. He never called me back.
So, yeah, it's
just ridiculous. And I know UPS drivers. Like, my regular guy, I have his phone number. Like, we communicate. I know drivers. I know they have cell phones. So you can't tell me that dispatch has no recourse.
Right.
Like, there's no way they can get a hold of a driver. Like, I don't buy that. This is 2019. I can get a hold of anybody.
Oh, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. And
and I know they don't want to do that, and I get it, because they can't be calling the driver 100 times a day because every single person wants to know when their package is coming. But when it's 10 o'clock at night and it's a business saying, look, my posted business hours were closed 3 hours ago, can you please get a hold of this driver and find out what's going on? Because I told the, now I'm really going off. I would have stayed all night. Like, I would have waited till 2 a.m. as long as I knew
you were getting it,
that it was coming.
Right.
And that's what I kept telling her. Because the biggest thing which they wouldn't tell me was, how long should I stay?
Right.
That's what I kept asking.
Everything
it's like, how late
been
should I stay?
Right there.
Right.
They could have like said, why don't you pick it up in the morning at the hub?
Exactly.
They could have said that at 7.
If they would have told me that at 7, I would have just gone home and we could have recorded and all would have been well. Well, as well as it could have been, I still would have been aggravated. But I wouldn't have been nearly as aggravated as I was
right
3 hours later.
Did you tell them that you had a podcast to do? I mean, come on.
I did.
Did you tell them what podcast you had to do?
I mean, strange as it is, they didn't seem to care, but they also didn't care that I hadn't had dinner yet or any of the other million things I threw at them.
Which is also
I was supposed
adding
to be home
to the
already.
Aggravation. You know, you get
right
because
I was starving. I was starving by 11 o'clock. So anyways, yeah. Long story short, it worked out in the end, but it was,
well, it usually does.
Yeah, it was just really irritating and they were very unhelpful. And again, as any store owner could tell you, you know, I mean, Wednesdays are busy. Like, it's Christmas for us on Wednesdays. Like, when we don't have our merchandise, you're losing your busiest day of the week.
Right.
Because most of the people then don't come back. Like, they're not waiting at the door on Thursday to come.
Right.
They're just like, oh, well, I'll make it in maybe on Saturday, or maybe I'll just wait till next Wednesday.
Right.
But we still have bills to pay this week.
Right.
Like, I can't afford for everybody to show up next week and pick up all their stuff. I still got to pay for this delivery this week.
Right.
So, you know, it just really throws a wrench into everybody's day when it's, you know, like I said, these are specifically dated periodicals. Like, they have a shelf date and a shelf life.
Right.
Because really, after about Saturday, they're expired. It's like expired milk.
Yeah.
You know, nobody wants them anymore.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
So anyway.
So before we get into some cheerier stuff, let me go on.
Yeah.
I got one here that has to do with comics. It has to do with our stuff. I put it in my notes today. So this was 8 hours ago. Typically, I don't pay attention to Rotten Tomatoes. I don't even like the entire setup because I don't like everything that they do because I think it skews you one way or the other. They tell you a movie's great, then you end up disappointed because you thought it was going to be better than it was. And they tell you it was poor, nobody goes, but it was really good. So I'm not a big fan of theirs. So I'm scrolling through Twitter and I see a picture of a scene from Endgame, okay? And it's their headline and it's from Rotten Tomatoes. And I should have just kept scrolling and ignored it. But they come out with the breaking news. We crunched the numbers.
Breaking news for a movie that came out
a
year ago.
No. This has nothing to do with Endgame. Well, it probably does. But that's not even the headline. They used it. They grabbed me. I didn't click on it. I wrote it down. And it says, here's the breaking news. This was 8 hours ago. We crunched the numbers and found that the fresher a movie is, the better its box office chances are on average.
That's breaking news. Thank you.
Thank you. The better a movie is, the better it does. Thank you. Right. What the hell are they? Are they waiting for their stuff to come in from UPS? Are they bored? What the hell right. kind of news? Hey, sunny days, you have a better shot at a sunburn. What the right. hell is that?
Well, and they're just inflating their own self-worth because they're basically saying the movies that we tell you all to go see do better, you know?
The people reading this article that I did not click on are like, really?
Right.
Do you need to read this to know that the better the movie is, the better it will do?
Right.
What the? What? Ooh, this is a deep, insightful article.
Yeah.
What the heck is that?
Thanks for schooling me on that one.
What's tomorrow's? The lower rated movies don't do as well.
Right.
It's like,
let me write that headline for you. I need a job.
Yeah, it's like, oh, so that one had me going today. I got a chuckle out of it, but it's
pretty funny.
And of course, it's a website I'm not a big fan of in the first place. So,
right.
All right, what do you got for news?
Well, I have a couple of things. So the Dazzler and Tigra series that was coming from Hulu is now indefinitely put on hold because it looks like Marvel fired all the showrunner and all the writers yesterday.
We are just rolling out great news to start the Bright Side chat today.
So I don't know what that means for the future of this show on Hulu. This was an animated show, if I'm not mistaken. It was part of that announcement with Kevin Smith doing the Howard the Duck show, and they had announced a few animated shows, and I think this was one of them. So it doesn't say the show itself is canceled, but it is put on in limbo until they decide what they're going to do with it. Supposedly over creative, I'm doing air quotes, creative differences.
I saw them.
So, yeah. Also in comic news, Lock and Key has a release date over on Netflix. I don't know if we've talked much. I think we've mentioned it once or twice
yeah.
that they're doing this. But it hits on February 7th. There's no word, actually. Their speculation is this may be actually a weekly series from Netflix, which might be one of the first ones that they're testing. Doesn't say specifically, but the article mentions that it may be a weekly. I really like Lock and Key. It was IDW. That's Joe Hill also.
Yep.
And I think it's going to be really good. Like I said, I haven't seen anything on the show as far as like previews or anything. I don't know anything about it, what it looks like, but I do know the story, and it looks like it's going to be good. So can't wait for that. On Disney Plus, we've got some Mandalorian news. It looks like the week of the 20th, which is when Rise of Skywalker comes out, they've moved up the air date for The Mandalorian from Friday to Wednesday.
Oh, really?
Because they're showing a sneak peek of Rise of Skywalker. So they want to have that where
really?
People can see it. Yeah. So people can see that ahead of the Thursday opening. I don't know how you feel about it. At this point, I feel like we're seeing a little bit too much Rise of Skywalker. Like, you already know how I feel about trailers anyways, but I think that they're releasing that's a little too much that we need to see, especially if it's something different that we haven't already seen on, which would have to be, because if they were just going to show something we've already seen,
no.
they wouldn't go to the trouble to move up The Mandalorian.
So
it's going to have to be something different.
Well, let me spitball this. What do you think of the idea that it's not an ad campaign? It's more of, we're going to move this up because there's something in The Mandalorian that'll play out in the movie and they want people to see it?
Well, I don't know. It could be. I mean, the story specifically says that it's a Rise of Skywalker preview that's tagged at the end of the show. So
yeah, but I'm wondering, what's weird is, who's...
But they could just run that all on its own on Disney Plus. They don't
right.
have to tie it
and
to The Mandalorian.
Right, but that's... But so. What's weird to me is, that who's watching The Mandalorian that isn't going to see... You don't need an ad in The Mandalorian to get people to go see Rise of Skywalker.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And that's why I'm saying, and sneak peeks at this point are just starting to give away too much.
Right.
Like, the movie comes out in 15 days. We don't need any more trailers or any more incentive to go see it. We're already gone.
Right.
So
I feel like...
I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like it's more like there's a plot twist to Mandalorian, or a plot point that, not a twist, I shouldn't say twist, a plot point that's going to show up in the movie or something, because it doesn't seem like a good tie-in, because it's, we're already going. You know, it's like, who's watching The Mandalorian all of a sudden? First off, if you're not that big of a fan, you're probably not even going to know that it's on Wednesday instead of Friday. And if you are a fan, I mean, there's a movie too? I didn't know that. I'm not trying to pick on it. I'm trying to say,
I think
what they're doing is, I think there's more to it than just a trailer. I would guess.
I can't imagine what the tie-in could be, but that doesn't mean there isn't one. But then again, if there was a tie-in built into the show, why would it have not been scheduled that way to begin with?
Yeah.
Like, it should have always been scheduled to come before the movie.
Well, they probably knew, and then they met, and they
maybe they just didn't want to say anything.
And then they know, like, or we're going to announce this now so that we get it on Wednesday, and now everybody's going to watch that, and then there's going to be something in there. You know what I mean? It's like, it's, you know, I don't, that doesn't bother me. None of it bothers me.
It doesn't bother me either.
I just can't wait.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting that they were doing that. But I do think, like I said, that I don't need any more new information.
Right.
Like, I actually want to see the movie and see something I haven't seen yet. So I think whatever sneak peek we get, may watch it or not watch it.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. And then the very last thing I have is for all of us Doctor Who fans, we have a release date on the new season, which is New Year's Day. Traditionally, they've actually started on Christmas Day in the past, has been the tradition. But the last 2 years, since Jodie Whittaker took over, they've done New Year's Day shows, and that's when the season starts. So I'm looking forward to it because I'm a big Doctor Who fan. I know you don't watch it.
Yeah,
but
my daughter does. Sure, she loves it. She's
I'm sure
to
a few of our listeners.
Like oh, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
A few of our listeners probably watch it. If you ever want to know, I mean, there's a lot of episodes, obviously. It's hard to catch up on, but I could give you 3 or 4 to watch that I'm sure you would enjoy. So
cool.
And that's it for the news that I have.
All right. I have a piece that I haven't seen. I actually researched it to put it into my notes, and I couldn't find it anywhere other than to say that watching Big Bang Theory on TBS, they're running ads for the Harley Quinn cartoon.
Okay.
And so on TBS at 11 o'clock on this Sunday night, they're going to be playing the Harley Quinn cartoon. I believe it's after, I think they said it's after Suicide Squad. So they're going to run Suicide Squad on Sunday night at probably, 9 o'clock or whatever. And then Harley Quinn, the cartoon, will be on at 11. I have to imagine it's going to be an edited.
Unedited? I was going to say.
Well, it is TBS, so maybe after 11 on a Sunday night, they could run it unedited. I don't know.
I'm sure you watched it.
Oh, yeah. I liked it.
I watched it, too. It's not for network TV.
No. That's for not sure. Just the language. I was watching it, and my wife
came
in the room.
Right, just the content.
And it is graphic violent.
Yeah, it's violent.
It's great. I mean, it's the opening scene alone, and she goes at them, mob guys, and it is gross.
This is going to sound funny coming from me.
Uh-oh.
Because I like the show overall, but it was too much cursing for me. Like, I thought there was really too much F-bombs from her at the beginning of the show. Like, it almost turned me off.
Right. I know what you're saying.
And again, I know what you're saying, like, coming from me, because cursing does not bother me in the least.
No.
But it felt like it was cursing just for the sake of cursing. Because, hey, we're on HBO and we can. It didn't feel like it served the story.
Right.
Necessarily. I thought it was just a little over the top. The episode overall I liked, though. I think I think it's interesting going forward.
I think they might have done that on purpose. Like, it probably came off as cursing for the sake of cursing, because they were like, look, we want people to know out of the gate that this isn't for kids. So we're going to, you know, similar to, like, remember Titans was like that, the first episode, and then
Doom Patrol. It was that much, you know?
Yeah.
It didn't, even Titans didn't encourage that much.
But this is also a cartoon, so it feels different, too. It didn't bother, it didn't even faze me, which is weird.
I was like, no, Penny, no.
No,
you know?
Penny.
I was like.
See, that's what I think it is. It's like.
I was like. Penny.
Yeah.
Penny.
Yeah, exactly. I really like the – but the other point that I thought was cool about this is remember we talked last week or the week before about Stargirl going from
– very PG.
Well, it's – I heard that there's a chance that it might be an edited version for CW.
Oh, really?
So just like they're probably – if they edit this one at all, they're going to put out two versions. And this is the point I was making when we talked about Stargirl is this could drive viewers, not just commercial-free, but you get an unedited version of these shows.
Right.
And it's like maybe we start to see Titans on CW or on another channel or something coming out soon to get people to drive them to the DC Universe app. And, I mean, who knows? I just thought it was interesting that I saw that Harley Quinn would be – the cartoon will be on.
I hadn't seen that. That is interesting. Now, the edited version of Harley Quinn is about 6 minutes long, so I don't think it'll – I don't think it'll even have a commercial, but
– I don't know. I don't know what the legalities are for cable TV after 11 on a Sunday, so
– I don't know either, but I've never heard that kind of language on, like, a non-HBO
– I'm recording it, so I want to check it out. If I'm not around to see it at 11, I'm going to watch it, definitely.
Right.
So that should be good.
Because even something like a Rick and Morty and things that show pretty late, they don't use language like that. You know,
I know there is a time that they can, though, but it's usually later at night. I know there is a time when you can get the unedited version. Let's see, to move along here. What do we – oh, Black Widow teaser trailer. Did you see that?
I did, yes.
What'd you think?
I think it looks good. I think it looks really good. David Harbour steals the trailer, I think.
yeah.
Might steal the movie. I like him a lot no matter what he does. So, although I can't say that because I didn't see Hellboy and I really don't want to. So
yeah, I wouldn't.
maybe I don't like everything he does. But I don't think Hellboy was bad because of him.
No, no, no.
I think it was probably bad because it was bad. But I think he looks great. I think the... Like I said, the action looks great. I thought Taskmaster looked great. I know I heard some flack online. People didn't like the Taskmaster.
Why?
The look of Taskmaster so much. I don't know. But I thought it looked. I thought he looked good. So.
So.
Yeah, I'm down.
You heard this, I'm sure. One of the podcasts we listened to, I heard, what was it, Eddie said he thinks this is going to tie into, and I love that point. I think it's a great point that the MCU doesn't do anything like this. Like, this feels like it's a movie that should have taken place years ago, right?
Yeah.
Because it does take place after Civil War or something.
Right. It's supposed to be between Civil War and what I guess would have been Infinity War, I guess.
At that time period. Judging by this, how she goes back, I actually felt like it took place after Winter Soldier. And I might be wrong. That's just how I felt watching the trailer. Because remember after Winter Soldier, everybody went their separate ways. And I feel like this would have pieced in there nicely.
Maybe it was Winter Soldier. Remember when we talked about the timeline?
Right.
It was one of the Captain America movies, I don't remember which.
But I've seen people online saying after Civil War or whatever. But I just felt like that. But that aside, I felt like I lost my train of thought. I forgot what I felt like.
Well, something having to do with Phase 4.
Oh, yeah. So that this would have – it feels like that should have taken place years ago. This movie literally should have come out years ago, and it feels that way. But the fact that it's coming out now, what's going to happen in this movie that is going to tie this into Phase 4? And I think that's – we could guess all we want. It's pointless because it's almost impossible to guess. But that's how the MCU works. Feige does not put out something for no reason. This movie is not coming out just as an afterthought. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think that's a great point that he had made. And it kind of got, you know, shot down, but it's like, but it's 100% true that this does not come out as a, oh yeah, we forgot about Black Widow. It's, this is coming right out now for a reason.
Could be. I don't know. I'm on the fence. I get what you're saying, and I get what they were saying on the podcast too, but I also feel like it could just be a love letter to Phase 3, and you know what I mean? And maybe it doesn't go forward, because I don't know. We're still getting things like the Falcon and Winter Soldier show that still feel like it's more tied to Phase 3 than anything that's coming up in Phase 4.
And you know why? Because we haven't seen them yet.
Well, right. And that's just, we could both be wrong. Right. Right. I mean, well, we don't know.
Well, that's...
Obviously, it takes place after Endgame because it's Falcon with the shield.
Right.
You know, in Winter Soldier. So we know it, in the timeline it takes place post-Endgame. But again, we're assuming that Phase 4 is also one cohesive story like Phase 3 was. And it might not be. You know, like, there's no guarantee that they're building towards another big finale like they did in basically Phase 1 through 3. We could get a completely separate template going forward. Because we talked about that in the past, speculating that maybe they don't all... wrap up in one big story.
And I'm not saying the entire storyline, but usually, like look at, let's pick a movie, Iron Man 3. It's right. That doesn't really have much to do other than it's just an Iron Man story, and then there's, like, a couple of nuggets within the movie that advance the entire storyline, and they're all kind of like that, you know? And that's all I'm saying with Black Widow. It's like, but there's going to be something, I think there's going to be something in there that is going to advance Phase 4. Because they're done with Phase 3. You know?
Right. Well, and if nothing else, there'll be a stinger at the end of the credits.
Oh, of course.
That's going to tease something going forward.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm happy either way.
Oh, of course.
You know, obviously, if it ties into Phase 4, I'm going to be happy about it. But if it doesn't, I'm still satisfied that, like, it's going to be a good time no matter what.
Yep.
Like, I won't, you won't feel like it was 2 hours wasted, even if it doesn't tie in.
Right.
You know? So, we'll have to see where it goes.
So, the last thing I have, did you finish Titans?
I did finish Titans.
What did you think of the last episode?
Well, I feel like it didn't do justice to Deathstroke. Like,
he went down too easy.
Like, I made a point to look at my watch. Actually, I didn't look at my watch. I paused the show to see where I was in the episode when Deathstroke was done. And it was basically Trigon all over again. Like, Deathstroke was done about 12 minutes into the episode. And then we had 36 minutes of, hey, we got to go deal with Connor. Spoilers, by the way. I'm sorry if anybody hasn't watched
after
this.
After you give the time lapse of when he dies. Spoilers.
Well, I wasn't. I just. Hey, it was a week ago.
But
then it just moved on. It kind of moved on to, like, the rest of their lives. And it's funny that I say that, because leading up to the finale, I felt like they were overpowering Deathstroke a little bit too much. But then in the end, I feel like they depowered him too much. Like, he went down too easy. Like, he takes down Wonder Girl earlier in the season like she's a sack of wet potatoes. And then he gets taken down by his daughter at the... You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but like, he never should have been powerful enough to take down Wonder Girl. But then if he is that strong, he shouldn't have gone down that easy in the finale.
Right. So, I won't get into any more spoilers other than to try and save this for people that haven't seen it.
I know, I'm sorry. Went right into
it. But here's the thing. I can save it. Or my opinion, anyways, will kind of... if you haven't seen it yet and you go to see it, you'll know what I'm talking about and you can form your own opinion.
Yeah, I didn't give away the big spoiler.
The show isn't about Deathstroke.
No, it isn't.
You know what I mean? So it's like, everything you said is true, but... That wasn't what the season's about. It wasn't what anything's about. I actually thought that this ended, obviously, it ended far better than season one did.
Yes.
And I thought, like, remember a couple weeks or last week we were saying, like, we didn't like, we had a lull there. We didn't like the way it was going. I thought this ended really, really well and brought you back to, that lull was for a purpose because, and everything we said, how they were all separate for all season long, right. This, it had a purpose. Even Deathstroke's death had a purpose. And you and I can get into it. Maybe if you want to do, we could do it maybe next week. I don't know if we have time for Kryptonite Key Club today, but
right.
we could go back and forth on that because I actually think that everything you said is true. But I also think that that was the purpose of this. And then, you know, anybody that's watching the show, you can form your opinion. But
well, I was going to say, to be clear, I thought it redeemed the season. Like, I thought the episode itself was great.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to downplay the episode itself because I think it gave us
after a tough
everything
day,
that we
John's
wanted.
John's coming in hot with positivity.
Right. it gave us everything we wanted, and it really sets up season three. Like, I think
yes.
it's going to be great.
Yes.
I just felt, first of all, I have a big problem in comics, movies, and TVs in general.
You?
Because we
no.
love to kill the villains.
Right.
Like, you know, because in comic books, the villains never die. They just get thrown in Arkham or Blackgate, and then they come
right.
back. But in TV and movies, we have to kill them all the time. So, like I said, I feel like
or if they die, they're like Clayface. They're not even
just
them.
Like season. Actually, it's funny because the season premiere and the season finale, I feel like, were bookends. Like, they were fractured episodes in the sense that, like, it started
kinda.
Off with where we ended up season one, and then the second half of the episode was setting up for season two. And this one was the same way. This one ended with, we're going to end season two in 15 minutes, and then we're going to set up season three for 30 minutes. And
yeah.
So I feel like they kind of serve the same purpose. But again, I don't want to downplay how great I think it was. Nightwing was awesome.
Awesome. Yeah.
big spoiler at the end that I won't give away. And I think season three looks like it's going to be outstanding. So
yeah. Oh, yeah. Season one had a nice spoiler at the end, too, to build you
it
to
did.
Season
yeah.
two. It was actually that end credit scene in season one. This one didn't have that. This one just,
right.
It was just there. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. I'm expecting big, big things next year, especially with HBO Max. And
yeah.
I think this is one of their, you know, for DC Universe, I think this is one of their tent poles.
It has to be because, again, I was looking at my subscription runs out on the 26th of December. And I'm not sure Harley Quinn is enough to keep me going, so...
Really?
I may... Yeah. I mean, I like it, but I don't like it enough to pay another $60
hey,
for another year.
You can catch her on TNT. Know. Or TBS.
Exactly. TBS. So we'll see. We'll see. I haven't formulated a decision yet. I looked at it the other day, though, to see when my subscription was up. So...
I'm hoping sooner rather than later that... I'm really hoping for that idea that they put everything over there... commercial free from the CW.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
I feel like they just have to announce one more show if they could have just announced one more thing that's coming to make me want to keep my subscription going. I don't know if Stargirl is it, especially if I can get it on the CW. So
right. But they did announce that all CW shows will be there commercial free?
Yeah.
Would that be enough to keep you?
Because maybe.
I think that, I mean, for me, that's
right now I still have right now I still have DirecTV, so I can fast forward through my commercials. But if I ever go the cord cutting route like you and I have to be forced to watch them commercials, I'd be willing to pay that membership fee to get them commercial free.
Maybe get some Arrow episodes with Ollie dropping some F-bombs.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. And then one more thing, and we don't even have to talk about it or go into it too much, but...
That makes for a good podcast.
Did you watch the end of Watchmen? Did you watch this week's Watchmen?
No, I haven't had chance. I almost did last night when you told me that you couldn't record, and I was like, you know what? I need to get to bed because
I'm almost
that was
back
like midnight
in now.
For me. Huh?
Like I'm almost back in because, you know, we talked about how I wasn't really loving the show. This week's episode was pretty good. And did you know that this is just a one season thing?
Yes.
Like this is done. I didn't. I this is done and two more episodes were done with this story.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I thought this was made to go.
Well,
you
never know
seasons.
After the fact.
Well, you don't. I mean, depending on how successful this one was, they may come back, but I guess whatever story they're telling is designed to be over in two more episodes. So
my brother's watching it along with us, obviously, and he texted me on Tuesday and he's like, "Did you see it yet?" And I was like, "Nope." And he goes, "Has it been spoiled for you yet?" And I'm like, "Not yet, so don't blow it."
And I tell you, I didn't see it coming.
I can't wait to get to it. And I actually tried to put it on last night. I got into bed, and usually I watch that down in my theater. And I went to bed, and I'm dying to watch it. So I put it on, and like 10 minutes in, I was just too tired. I just fell asleep.
Yeah.
And especially knowing I had a big day today coming because we had to record today instead. But, I'll definitely be checking that out soon.
Yeah. Well, let me know when you do.
Oh, I will. I'll probably text you right during it when it hits or whatever. Right. But
You won't know till the end. It's literally the end. Yeah.
I think the show has been great so far. So I can't. And if it's pulling you back in,
Definitely pulled me back in for the last two.
Yeah.
Because I'm on board now to see what happens.
So all right, let's get off of that before something happens.
We're still 40 minutes into this short show.
Yeah. Exactly. So, all right.
We'll fly through the comic news here, though, and then.
There goes the dog. All right.
Yeah. It's all right. We're live.
We're live. We're doing it live. All right. What do we got for comics? Let me start that again. What am I gonna see? We're all screwed up.
You're all messed up,
it's
man.
It's Thursday. It's who knows what's going on. All right. What am I gonna spend my money on this week?
All right, so the first book we're going to take a look at is a book called Kill Whitey Donovan. Issue number one came out. I believe this is Dark Horse. Apparently, this has already been optioned for something. It doesn't say what. TV or movie or something. Like we talked about it last week. If it exists, it's optioned for something.
Yep.
But this one is seeing some heat because of that. Looks like they're selling for about $7 a piece. Right now for the main cover. So, I'm sorry. Not crazy, but I think it will trend upwards because, like I said, just for the fact that it's been optioned for something. We have from Marvel, Magnificent Miss Marvel, issue number 10. This is the first appearance of the new Storm Ranger. So far, it's not really doing anything on the secondary market, but any first appearance, could turn into something later on down the line. You just never know. So maybe worth just picking it up and socking it away. From Boom Studios, we have Power Rangers Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, issue number one. There's a one per store thank you variant that was sent out to all the retailers. It's selling for about $60 right now. So a lot of people are looking for it. It's got the White Ranger helmet on it, which... none of the other covers have, so definitely one if you can pick it up.
Is that a big deal? The White Ranger? I'm not a Power
Ranger
guy.
It is. I'm not a Power Ranger guy either, but the White Ranger seems to be the one that everybody looks for.
They were way after our time.
Yeah, but I know like when I get the pops and things like that, it's always the White Ranger that sells out first. Marvel also has Spider-Man Venom Double Trouble, issue number 2. This is the 1 in 25 variant, selling for about $30, so a little bit over ratio. I just don't know how many of these are out there. I don't know if you got a chance to read issue 1 of this. I thought it was terrible. It didn't sell very well, so I don't know if a lot of stores are ordering upwards of 25 copies to get these variants.
Right.
But like I said, if you can pick one up, it's definitely worth grabbing. And then last but not least, another 1 in 25 variant. This is for Venom 2099, issue number 1. There should be a lot more of these out there. Like, I can see stores ordering lots of copies of this. The 1 in 25 variant is selling for between $35 and $45 bucks. So, that's it for Speculator's Corner.
All right. What do we got for back issue bonus?
All right. So, from 1988, we have Excalibur, issue number 31. This is the first appearance of Vega Superior, who is the son of Krakoa. So, kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel on first appearances, but Krakoa is in the news these days. So
just a little bit.
and this is only going for about $10, so it's not going to set you back too much to pick it up. We haven't seen Vega Superior back yet in any of the new X timelines, but, you know, again, being the son of Krakoa, he may show up. So it may be worth grabbing. And next on the scraping the bottom of the barrel first appearances list is Captain America 341. We have the first appearance of Battlestar.
Who?
Yeah.
See what I did there?
Yeah. Again, speculation is that he will show up on the Falcon and Winter Soldier TV show. Right now, selling for $20 to $30. This one may not hold, though. So might be one to pick up and flip while you can. Get in and get out.
Right.
If that's your game, you know, yeah. I would grab it now, get rid of it, because it may not hold up, especially if he doesn't show up on the show. Ghost Rider 2099, issue 1 from 1994. This just really coincides with the Ghost Rider 2099 that came out this week. Again, this is only selling for $5 or $6, but, you know, this was a 50-cent book. You know, basically since it came out in 1994. So just the fact that it's even selling for $5 or $6, you could probably find like reams of these things in dollar bins all over the world. So, again, get in and get out. Pick it up for 50 cents, sell it for $5, and call yourself happy and move on.
Yeah.
Ultimate Spider-Man, issue 33. So this is the first appearance of Ultimate Venom. So Donnie Cates loves to tweet things out and get speculators to jump, and this is something that he tweeted out, that we should be on the lookout for Ultimate Venom. So obviously he's going to do something with the character, and so far everything he's said has panned out. It's been books that have, you know, gained in value and kept value for a while, so it'd be worth picking this up if you can. Right now it's selling for $20 to $30, but, you know, again, it was around in stores for $5 or $6 up until recently, so you may still be able to track down some copies. And then last but not least, we have from DC, the Series 52, issue number 12. This is the first Adriana Tomaz as Isis. Trending upward, just speculation from the Black Adam movie, a lot of talk that she may show up there. And it would make sense because that's where she should show up. It's selling for about $10. And that's it.
All right. What do we have for final order cutoff for next week?
All right. So we have, as usual, a Francesco Mattina Batman cover. Seems to make the grade every FOC.
I have a comment on this one.
Okay.
But go ahead.
So, yeah, another good cover from Mattina. For Catwoman issue 19, we have an Ian McDonald variant cover. This is an artist I had never heard of, but the cover is really good looking. I like it a lot. So maybe worth picking up. Harley and Ivy, issue number 5. This one has a pair of Joshua Middleton covers. Supergirl 38 has a Derek Chu variant. And then Wonder Woman 750 has a bunch of Decades covers. So in the vein of Action and Detective 1000, this one didn't hit 1000, but it hit 750. So we're doing the same thing with the Decades covers. And from DC, we have a new series, Daphne Byrne, issue number 1 of 6. There's 2 covers there. This is also a Hill House horror story. I don't know much about this one, but looking at the cover of the book, I'm really interested in reading it.
Cool.
So the cover did its job in selling me on the book because it really looks good. From IDW, we have Rising Sun, issue number 1. It's going to be a 3-issue series. There's only 1 cover. From Image, we have The Clock, issue number 1. It's indicated as a miniseries, but it doesn't say how many issues. I would guess 5 or 6. Also, only 1 cover. From Marvel, we have a variant cover for The Amazing Mary Jane, number 4. This is Ryan Gonzalez. And then we have, well, 2 new series in a one-shot. So we have Marvel's X, number 1. This is going to be 6 issues. We have Ruins of Ravencroft Carnage. That's a one-shot. It's tying into a bunch of Ruins of Ravencroft. There's going to be 3 one-shots, I believe, and then a mini-series that all have to do with the Ravencroft. And then from Captain Marvel, we have Star, issue number 1. There's going to be 5 issues there. and all three of these being from Marvel have multiple cover options. That's it from Marvel. From Boom, we have Power Rangers Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 2. Has the same range of covers that number 1 had. There's a whole bunch of... issue 1 has basically all the turtles holding the Red Ranger helmet. This one is all the turtles holding like the Blue Ranger helmet. So I would imagine all 6 issues of this will have the same suite of covers with one of the different helmet options. This is one I didn't get a chance to read, obviously, because I had some issues with the books. But I really want to read it.
Yeah,
so,
I picked it up too, and
I'm not a Power Rangers guy either, but I'm really interested in it. And then last but not least, from Zenoscope, we have Red Agent Island of Dr. Moreau, and this is issue 1 of 5. So this is spinning out of one of the holiday samplers we just got.
Yep.
There was a Red Agent story in there. And then, of course, it's Zenoscope, so there's about 5 covers for it. That's it for FOC.
All right. I'd just like to touch on Batman number 86.
Yeah.
That cover, usually I would save these comments for Monday's podcast, but
yeah.
I think this one's worth noting now. So 86 is going to be obviously the first of the next series.
Yes.
All right. Yep. And who's the writer on that?
James Tynion.
Yeah. Did you see his interview on DC Universe on DC Daily?
No.
It's first off, he's a spitting image of my buddy TJ, who's also a listener.
I've seen him on other interviews, just not that one.
And have you seen pictures of my buddy TJ? And his
no.
Well, he puts out.
But I hear he's a spitting image of James Tynion.
Yes. So. Well, look at I'll send you some pictures. He's a photographer and he tweets out these pictures of him, and it's like it's one picture with like 4 of him in it.
Okay.
And he did one this week about hockey and like raiding the refrigerator.
Oh, is he the guy? All right, I saw that. Yes.
And look at him. He looks just like.
Okay. I'll go back and look at it. I saw that tweet.
But that isn't the note that I wanted to make here. But
okay.
If you go find him on DC Daily, I forget which it was last week. But he says like he's trying to incorporate a new vehicle. In every issue.
Okay.
And looking at that cover by Mateena, it's like just seeing the vehicle that they're on, Deathstroke and Batman.
Yeah.
You see Batman inside the vehicle, which I think it looks like the Batmobile, but you're not 100% sure.
Right.
The detail and the color in that picture, but just that, it's like I'm very excited for this series, for him to see what he does. I think as much as I love Tom King, I think we're going to get a huge swing in ideal and everything here. And it's this looks so colorful. I know that's Mateena. So, I mean, you can't judge the inside
of
the book
by this. Right, it's a great cover, but I would imagine the vehicle would play somewhat into the issue.
I would hope. Maybe judging by this cover, maybe the vehicle gets destroyed and he gets a new one.
Right. Maybe.
I'm really excited about this new Batman series, and obviously I'm excited about the continuation of Tom King's as well, but this cover really did it for me. I really liked it. So, all right. That's it for FOC. Let's get into book club for this week.
All right.
And, you got the one, so let's talk about that.
Yeah, I've only got one. Now, I read a couple of other books.
Well, you want me to go first? Because I have one that, and maybe you read it too, so I don't know.
Okay, go ahead.
20XX, did you read that?
Oh, no, I didn't get to that. That was actually my list of the second book I was going to read, but I didn't get it. So
oh, okay.
I didn't get a chance to read it.
I was able to pick up Angela today, because I just got my books like literally an hour before we started recording, because mine were delayed yesterday as well, and I couldn't get back there to get them. So I actually grabbed this one because I saw it in your notes. But I'll tell you quickly about 20XX Image Comics, writer Lauren Keeley and Jonathan Luna, art by Jonathan Luna. This one was I really really liked it. It starts off, it grabs you right away. It's a sci-fi thriller for mature readers. That's what it says in the synopsis or whatever. It says not so distant future. I thought it was pretty far away, but
okay.
But people get this disease and then they get telekinetic powers. If you get the disease, if you live through it, the disease is supposed to kill you, but if you live through it, you get telekinetic powers. This is all in the first couple pages, but the first page, it really, really grabs you by the heart, for one, and especially if you love pets. But it goes on, and it leaves you hanging at the end, but it's like you don't know what power she's going to get or what, and she doesn't know either, but it's telekinetic, and it's like it's very intriguing. I can't say I've read anything like it before. Okay. It's in black and white. The artwork is pretty good, but it means this is about the story. It's not about the artwork. And that's why I'm by no means saying the artwork is bad. I'm just saying that this story really carries, and it's not a fun story, but I really, really enjoyed it. And I'm really excited to see the next one because I like the way this is going. And it's pretty, I don't know, it's pretty complex, but it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely want to read it. Like I said, I just didn't get it. But I had my list of books that I was going to try to read for the show, and that was one of them. So
all right. What's this one? Angela Della Morte? All right.
Yeah, so the book I read was Angela Della Morte. This is from Red 5 Comics. It was written and drawn by Salvador Sanz.
Yep.
So keep in mind that I wasn't in the best frame of mind when I read this book yesterday. I was a little irritated. And I don't know if that translates through what I thought of this book, but it felt a little confusing to me. Like I had a little bit of a hard time following it. But it's basically, again, it takes place in the future. It doesn't say specifically how far in the future, but there's like 20XX, there's like a virus that is infecting a lot of the population.
Right.
And there's a cure for the virus, but the cure involves a specific type of surgery that you have to go through. And then you have to recover on the moon. Like,
that's
you have to be isolated.
Like, yes.
Yeah, you have to be isolated from any other people. So they send you to the moon for 60 days, I think it said. May have been 90 days, I can't remember. But for a certain period of time, you had to recover by yourself on the moon, and then you were able to come back into society. So Angela Della Morte, obviously, she just had this surgery. She's on the moon. And while she's up there, one of the bases the base that she's supposed to be staying at gets destroyed. It gets blown up by a faction on Earth that's, against what they're doing. So now she's freaking out because she doesn't have anywhere to go, and she's going to run out of air.
Right, in her
suit. She calls back – right, in her suit. So she calls back to the base, and the doctor that runs the whole thing tells her that they have a secret base also on the moon. It's, in a specific crater. She's got, she can go there and they'll pick her up. So that's kind of what the rest of this involves. She gets to the base. She's having a hard time getting inside. The security at the base doesn't want to let her in. And I don't know. Like I said, it just felt very, very weird to me. I was a little confused about what was going on. I did like the artwork. I do have a small complaint. Again, go figure. I'm generally not one that complains about upgrading the quality of the books, but the paper that this book is printed on is a super slick paper, and I had a hard time pulling the pages apart. Like I had a little bit of a hard time turning the pages. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I didn't have any problem.
I don't know. Now again, I try to be pretty careful with these things because I'm putting them back on the shelf to sell.
Right.
So I don't want to I don't own it to where I can just ransack it. But I don't know. I had a little bit of trouble with the pages. Maybe it was just me. Just a small complaint. But I felt like they were really slick and sticking together.
Maybe they got stuck together sitting in the UPS warehouse.
Maybe. Well, these were the ones I got. These were one of the 7 books that I got on time on Tuesday.
Oh.
So I had like 9 books on the shelf all day Wednesday. But yeah, reading the synopsis for this book, it seems like there's a lot more going on than what was translated to me through this issue. May be things that are coming, obviously coming up a little further. Because when I read the synopsis, it looks super interesting. But right. I didn't see any of that really happening in this issue.
Right.
So I know you haven't got a chance to read it yet. So
no, I did read it. I read it.
Oh, you did read it.
Yeah,
okay.
I did read it.
And so I don't know. What did you think about it?
I didn't find it as confusing. And that's why I wanted to talk about 20XX first, because
okay.
I had read 20XX first, and like I said in my review, I'm like, I've never read anything like this. And then I'm reading this one, and I'm like, this is kind of like this.
Yeah.
So it's funny, they both come out this week, and the similarities is like exactly like you said. It's like you're there, there's a disease. And that I really liked that at the beginning of this book, how they outline what the disease was. I don't want to get into all that. But and then they tell you the surgery and everything, and it's kind of similar to 20XX in just that way, which I thought was maybe by reading 20XX first, I had a better understanding.
Right.
Because I'm like, oh, this is kind of like that, only the other one you didn't need a surgery, you just needed to survive.
Right. And we didn't even mention the monkey. So
yeah, that I'll tell you is, yeah, I'm not confused on that. I think that information is going to come later. It's like,
yeah, but I didn't really know what was going on there either.
Yeah. And it's like, I know it's like for people listening, I know it sounds like John maybe spoiled the book, but he didn't. It's like, there's so much more stuff to this why you're confused. Cause it's funny. Cause you're giving your synopsis of it or your review of it and you're like telling the story and you basically went all the way through it and you're saying you're confused. What you're leaving out is what you were confused by.
Right.
And you know what I mean? And it's like, so like, you didn't spoil it. It's like, I think it's a pretty good book. And like you said, if you read the synopsis,
you definitely
want to read it. I thought the cover was great. And that kind of like, when I saw it, when you sent me over your notes last night, I was like, oh, let me, what's this one? And I really wanted to get it. And
the art was good. Like, I liked the art throughout.
Yeah.
I think the art was really good.
It's a good book, but I think the synopsis, you got to take the synopsis, read the book, and then be like, I can't wait for two.
Right. Cause there's more there's obviously more coming that,
right.
That didn't really get revealed in this issue.
Right. If I can give you an analogy of what this book is, it's like, it's a story of a little girl going to the store. And after the first issue, she left the house and went to the store. But we don't know what she's going to the store for.
Right. Right.
It's like, that's it. It's like, uh-oh. It's just really weird. It's like, is she going for eggs and milk or is she going for a screwdriver? I don't know.
Right.
You have no idea what this whole purpose is, so, or why she's there or anything. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the next one on that one too. So.
Yeah, I'll definitely take a look at it. Now, it's Red 5, so it could be 7 months before we get issue 2, because they're notorious for delays.
Yeah.
But,
and you're going to have to tell me when it comes out, because
yeah,
I don't pay
attention to that. Yeah, because you might have forgotten all about it by then.
Right, right. Yeah. You're going to be like, remember that one with the monkey in it? Yeah.
Right. Okay. The monkey and the moon?
My reply
no, not
is
Umbrella
be,
Academy.
Yeah, my reply is going to be no. Yep, yeah. I know why you don't remember. But, right. All right. Is that good for this week?
I think so. I just wanted to throw in there real quick that I did read the new Daredevil, and it continues to not disappoint. I thought it was a really great issue.
Yeah.
So if you haven't had a chance
a chance to read that.
Yeah, it's really good.
Cool. That was – I actually started it just as you texted me to say you're ready.
Okay.
I was trying to get that one in too. But the last thing – oh, you know what I need to talk about is Saturday – the toy drive at Friendly Neighborhood. If again, obviously, by the time this comes out, I knew Thursday would be too late for mailing stuff into Friendly Neighborhood. But anybody listening, if you can get down there, Friendly Neighborhood has toys, little trinkets for sale that you can donate. And that, and if you're a Brightside listener and you say, you're part of the Kryptonite Key Club, you'll get 5 raffle tickets to get the backpack, a t-shirt, and the glass, the bright side nice. Pint glass.
So, I don't even have one of those, just so you know.
I had them when you were up here.
I know, you
I
told me when I was up here.
Back.
Yeah. But I was just telling the listeners that, you know, you will be part of an exclusive club because I'm on the show and I don't even have one.
I know. Well, they are very exclusive. My son had them made at school because he had nothing else to do with the etching machine and a bunch of leftover glasses. He goes, let me see if I can do this. So he did it. They're pretty cool. So that I'm going to be there at 4 o'clock if you want to come down at 4, but you can come down anytime during the day. Ernie and Slade both know what we're doing with the raffle tickets and stuff. So just see them, donate a toy and get your raffle tickets. That would be great. It's obviously for a great cause. So,
yeah.
That's all I got. You good?
I am good.
All right. Sorry for the delay. Let us know what you thought of our rant that we started the show. You can hit us up on Twitter at brightside_chat, or you can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. Thank you to the Nerdy Legion for being patient this week. It took us a day, but we showed up. Thank God we showed up, because if you weren't able to make it today, then I was going to put something out by myself, and who knows what that would have been.
Yeah.
Because I had all your – I almost did it last night.
Well, I've listened to your solo shows, and let me tell you.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got a whole other podcast that you do by yourself.
Yeah, and yeah, it's not easy. I'm working my way through that one. So
actually, it's I kid. I enjoy it. If you're not listening and you like home theater, you should give it a listen.
Yeah, I actually got a I don't know who it is. Maybe it's somebody I know that I don't. I got a review. I got a rating and a review. Yeah, and it's like the review was, he's very passionate.
But I don't know if that's good or bad, right?
Well, it was 5 stars. So
okay, it came with 5 stars. Yeah,
it came with 5 stars.
Because it could have been 1 star and still said the same thing.
Right. It'd be like, I mean, he's very passionate, which a lot of people have said that about me, and it's been a dig. So
that's what I'm saying. It's like, well, I don't have anything else to say, but it's not good, but he's very passionate.
Yeah, exactly. So, like I said, I'm still working my way through that one, trying to figure out where, but it's early on. We didn't know what the hell we were doing when we started either.
Right.
So, but all right. Hey, that was a really long plug for my other podcast. So I don't think we even said the name. Yeah, Brightside Home Theater.
I would say, yeah, might as well throw it in now.
Yeah. Same logo, just white. And a little change to it, but all right, let's get out of here. And we will see you on Monday when we do The Last Jedi.
Yep.
That ought to be fun.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
All right. See you Monday. Have a great weekend. See you Monday.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.